The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
As the seasons change, so do our selections. The seasonal selections from King's Coast Coffee Company are custom roast sourced and selected to pair with the changing of the seasons. We take the time to source and pair up coffees that reflect the current season and are roasted to highlight tasting notes that pair with the season on hand. Here for a while, then making way into the next, this is a great roast to try on its own or make any coffee subscriber happy.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to the 22nd episode of Coffee and Chell. I am your host, Queso Paguni. I am joined by No Sleeves 12. And we typically go what's happening in the life of Queso Paguni, but No Sleeves, I feel like it's been an interesting week for you. What's been going on?
I mean, dude, it's been a couple of days, eh? I guess this is why I think I need to spend the majority of the time here as, definitely.
Well, like you typically do, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's true. I mean, yeah, more so. So, I mean, we had some changes in our game and people were not thrilled with only me. So I think we need to take some time and just finally put this story to bed. So, all right, let's jump into it. So last Wednesday, was it Wednesday?
It was last Wednesday. Yeah.
All right, yeah, last Wednesday. Black Wednesday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so the AP changes happened. And we had been discussed by EA that they wanted to make some changes. And they changed a lot of the EA prices. And it obviously was a big change to the game in terms of, like, you know, all sorts of cards, a lot of their values were changed, and a lot of people were not thrilled about it, specifically players that are free to play, which I totally understand. And I took all of the heat, which is fine. I mean, I think that I've said this on stream a bunch of times that, you know, I want to be the spotlight. You know, I think that, you know, if you want to be a full-time content creator, you obviously want to be in the spotlight. So sometimes you got to take the bad with the good. And I definitely took the bad because no help from EA, no real help from anyone else. I just sat there for a day, and whether it be Reddit or Facebook, it was just all No Sleeves. And I think I just want to talk about some of the quick points that I just want to kind of, again, like, put this issue to bed. First, let's start with the process, my man, because you were involved in it. And I just want to make everyone clear about how it happened, because everyone just assumes that I have total control over EA NHL.
Yeah, I was a co-conspirator for sure.
I wish, honestly, I wish I had that much power over EA, because I'd hopefully make a better game. But that being said, EA approached us and said that they want to make some balancing. They want to balance the game in terms of, you know, the AP abilities, and they want to do it early enough so that it's not just throwing it in at the end of the year. And obviously that does impact some players, you know, the free to play guys that don't, you know, they've got to really be careful with who they invest in. And, we all said, okay, they wanted our feedback. It wasn't like we went to them and said, hey, you need to balance the game. EA came to us and said, we want to, you know, we want your feedback. We are going to make, here's a list of all of the changes. And you used the list in your video, actually, with what they want to make the changes to. in terms of the AP balance. So all of us, all of the game changers that were on the meeting, we gave our feedback and we left the call, you know, all in agreement that this is, you know, the appropriate balancing for the game. If you remove the aspect of them changing it and not communicating, and I think this goes back to what we say all the time, the communication with EA when it comes to Hockey Ultimate Team is just completely gone. It is not there. It is something that needs to be addressed, and I just, again, it kind of goes back to something that we always say, that it's just not, this does not seem important to EA NHL. And okay, that's the case. They needed to make sure that the community was aware they were going to make adjustments. And then what ended up happening was just a flurry of horrible coincidences in terms of my channel and just me personally. So I just want to address those real quick because, again, you know, I'm not going to please everybody and I don't want to please everyone because, you know, it is what it is and everyone's going to have a lot of different opinions. But so about a few days prior, I made a video about my top five changes and AP changes that I would like, that I would make to balance the game. And they were, bringing down 1T to 8. Another one was, shutdown up to 6. And the big one was post to post. And in that video, I actually said it should be 10. But yeah. EA did not listen, even though I am the puppet master. They did not listen, and you know, they made it obviously. They made those adjustments and brought post to post up to 8. So here's the issue: I make this video, and I think that's something that you guys have got to remember. There is not a lot of content in this game. It is very difficult for me to make a video every single day about this game that you get to a point where you've just got to kind of make up your own stuff. So I decided to make, you know, AP changes were being discussed in, you know, on social media and on Twitch a lot. And it was something
that we had literally this was a topic on here probably five times. Cause it's like, how do you have a podcast every single week about EA Sports?
Exactly. NHL?
And like you had asked me if you wanted new AP costs for this ability, what would it be? We've had this discussion a lot.
Exactly. So I have that. And I make a video, nothing to do with the changes that we're going to come. We hadn't even had the talk yet. And, you know, that comes out. Right. And then unfortunately in my stream, they make the changes and I go, oh, they listened to me about the shutdown being 6. And I think that's what really set a lot of people off, because again, from an outsider point of view, that makes them look like I'm the one that said 6, when in reality, we all agreed that 6 is the appropriate price in our opinion. Not obviously in a perfect world, we would get a beta in HUT and we would be able to test it. MLB got a beta to test their game, Diamond Dynasty. We would get a beta to test. The problem is they release X factors and abilities and that we have no idea what is going to be the meta. You don't usually don't find that out for a couple weeks, but with no beta, we have no idea. So they release all these X factors and all the ability costs. And some of them were just ridiculous. And obviously they waited too long to do the balancing. I do need to state this. There were numbers backing up the amount of usage of these X factors. You know, so they definitely saw
I was actually surprised by the data they had.
It was pretty interesting. So shutdown was, I think it was something like 37% of players have that activated, like on cards that have it available. It was staggering. Anyways, it made sense. If you say, hey, let's start the year over again. The changes that were made, I think we're in agreement that are pretty set across the board, because now you have to make some decisions. It's not so.
Yeah, but I think all the changes were good, right?
Some could have gone even more, in my opinion.
Yeah. So whenever they came to us and were like, hey, we want to put this in the game like in a week, like we had like a week notice, but we didn't see the abilities or the changes like that week before. But like, hey, we're thinking about putting it in the next week. I went back to look at the HUT, like the blog post, whenever the game came out. And my thinking was that there was something in there saying like, hey, these ability points might change throughout the year. There wasn't. It was just that the AP may be raised. So I kind of like wish going back that maybe there was that wording in that initial thing like, hey, these might be adjusted as the year goes on. I thought it was assumed. I thought it was assumed from the consumer like, hey, you know, there might be some balancing at some point, as we've seen with other things. But I don't know.
I think that, okay, so now, you know, that comes out and everything. I'm going to give you my background on this now, because I have never had anything like that happen to me before. You guys, I know that, you know, the people and the haters think that I have this giant ego. I really don't feel that I still have this spotlight, but clearly I do. obviously, after what happened, because I got about 40 threads calling me garbage, that I'm trash, that I'm ruining the entire game for everyone. Somebody commented that we should all unsubscribe from his YouTube channel and that they hope my wife has a good job because his career is over. It was blasphemy that, I got... Not so much that I got that much hate, because again, when you line up everything, it does look like I was, pulling the strings. And again, this is just a bad string of coincidences. And I had no way to defend myself and explain to everyone. So I made a thread, man, that I don't know if you saw this. I made a thread that was like, if you want to talk some smack or you have an issue with me, you post it in here and I will reply to everyone. I must have replied to like 150 comments. I think by the end of it, I had over 300. So I tried to reply to every single one that it was obviously people were upset. And like I said, it's not like we were fighting that you need to balance the game now. They came to us and said, we are going to make a balancing. Here is the list that we're going to go with. What do you guys think? And all the game changers, when we left the call, were like, this is what we're going to do. Okay. And, this just goes back that they need to communicate. And what was even worse is the entire day and night, man, it was only me. Like, it was only me getting the flaming, So, I didn't speak ill of anyone else. EA didn't come and say, hey, this didn't happen, or, this isn't right. I think Clappy eventually made a statement the next day or something like that, but it was rough. And then it just spawned all these other threads.
EA Hawk stepped in, I think, in one of the threads.
A little bit,
mentioning
yeah.
Something, yeah.
It is. I'd never seen him like that, and I had no preparation for it. I also deleted that video that night of like my top five things, because it was just spinning a narrative that I had no idea how to control that. It was probably a very bad move for me to delete that video. Because it makes me look like guys, I'm being honest with you. It was purely coincidence. And, we have been in discussions about AP changes on this podcast, and I didn't change anything. I don't back down from the suggestions I gave in terms of AP costs. I think those are the ones that I stand by. And, for the most part, I've seen feedback that people do enjoy them. It feels a little more fresh. But yeah, it looked awful. And going forward, I'm going to be a little more careful about what I say about gameplay specifically, because there is no way to please everyone with the gameplay in this game. And we're going to talk about gameplay later on today, as an aside, because Kesso has some thoughts about it that we want to get into. But when it comes to gameplay, I'm always going to give my opinion. And for the most, I want to, selfishly, guys, I want the game to be as good as possible. The better the game is, the better my views and numbers are. So I need you guys to realize this. I have no, if I say, hey, do this, and it ruins the game, that isn't good. Like, that is not... My wife was getting texts from her friend, because her friend is a big NHL guy. We don't really talk ever, but he was like, is Cam all right? Because he was seeing all these, like, my dad has a buddy who, like, plays a lot of NHL. My dad the other day calls me and goes, hey, everything okay? So you had a bad stream or something, they were saying. It's like, that's embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't care if you think I'm a bad creator. That's fine. I can take it, right? Like, I have no problem. If you have ever been in my channel, one of my favorite things to do is absolutely demolish trolls. Like, it is enjoyable. But I did the worst thing I could do, and I read it all, man. And it was, dude, it was heavy. Like, it was heavy.
After a couple of days, so that happened on Wednesday night. I was in class. So then, like, I think after class, I don't have my phone out in class. I try to be respectful to the professor, and I ended up reading some of it in the car, and then I got home, I was reading it. Then the next night, it was like a good 24 to 48 hours of like nonstop bashing. So it was like Friday night, I go to my wife, I'm like, listen, my phone's in my room, don't let me grab my phone. I don't want to look at that thing for like at least until tomorrow, because it was just nonstop negativity.
It was just super unhealthy.
It wasn't even it wasn't directed at me really, but like, you see a friend going through that, it's like annoying. And then I get angry because I'm like, I'm reading things and some guys like, these game changers just want to ruin the game, and all they do is they're bootlickers, the EA, which is the, and it's like you're reading so many false things that, I'm thinking like no reasonable person could listen to me or listen to you and think these things. But like five people say it on Reddit, then like 10 people read that and they assume it's true. And then another 20 and then 40. And then it's just like, it's nonstop. And they're so wrong. That's the thing. That's frustrating.
That's what kills me.
It's so wrong. Yeah. It's like, I just don't understand how they could have that opinion. Right. Looking to direct their anger.
Exactly.
Really, that's what it is.
Exactly. So it was pretty tough. I'm not going to lie, but I sat there and took it. I didn't ask for anyone's pity. The amount of people that reached out to me, though, like that made me humbled, because I I maybe didn't think I had this biggest spotlight as I had. My community was unbelievable. The amount of DMs I got from, you know, all sorts of people, which is wild. So if you guys DM me and I didn't reply to you, I saw it. I apologize. But yeah, it was a heavy couple days, man. I'd never been through anything like that. And, you know, I don't want to go through anything like that again. And I have a really bad sour taste with EA, obviously. I mean, I got messages from devs being like, dude, we're like this. Sorry, man. Like, because it was like, there was no separation between EA and me. Like, it was me and EA. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was wild. But nonetheless, one last thing, because the other thing that was kind of spawning this, I have total control over EA, is that all these Sharks master set players. Yeah. Because we had gotten Burns and Carlson, right, in style icons. And I lost my mind because, again, not many people are Sharks fans. I just recorded a podcast for the Sharks event, so that's why I'm in my, you know, my jersey. But we have gotten, as a Sharks fan, to all six Sharks fans out there listening to this, we have gotten Burns and Carlson three straight years. And yeah. It was just like, I know we're not going to get very many because the team is going through a bad spot. So it was like, man, like, come on, I want to use some of my guys. And then we get Dan Boyle, which was like, oh, cool. And then we get Hurdle, and it's like, bro, like, it looks awful. And you see, like, the coincidences are just lining up. It's like, dude, he says that he wants more Sharks, and he gets one every single event, and now I have the impression that anything I say EA will do. And it's just not the case. And the thing I wanted to say about these master items is that they are chosen months in advance, guys.
Well, I think you can see it with these ones, too, right?
Yeah.
Like these, what was the event? The moments, right?
It made sense.
Yeah. They were non-meta players. The artwork was good. This is something that was clearly done 3 to 6 months in advance.
Yeah. And it just lined up that, like, this happens to be, I'm bitching about something, and it just lined up. And, you know, so for anyone that I pissed off about free to play, I understand. Like, it sucks. EA does not communicate anything when they're going to change anything. It's like they're like, they won't really care. You know, and that's unfortunate because there has been a lot of that, and something that I'm going to try and hold them accountable for my time as a game changer, if I don't end up getting kicked or something, is making them actually communicate, because I think it's absolute piss poor. And I obviously have a reason to be upset now, especially with EA, because I mean, it was almost 48 hours and I just got demolished by something they did. And, you know, but again, I wanted the spotlight, so I don't want anyone's pity. I need to explain that, and now it's time to move on, because we're over that. You know, I think,
you know what it's time to move on to. We have to discuss the AP changes,
absolutely,
though,
from
the podcast standpoint, right? So let's talk about those some more.
Yeah, all right. Do you think, so when they happened, I was going through my team, and it was the first time in months that it felt like I got to make some decisions. Like, it was kind of fun. Like, a little bit.
Yeah, I liked it just because whenever the update went in, I checked my team like later that night, and I saw a lot of people were tweeting like, I have like 71 out of 45 AP. Mine was actually under because I wasn't using shutdown and I wasn't using like whatever else increased. So I'm like, oh, I have some extra points now. This is great. It's made me try some that I've typically haven't before.
Okay.
Close quarters is one of those. Have you used that one yet update?
I have been starting to. So I started using it on the new Patrick Kane. Also want to bring up something else about an event. So I hope I'm going to write it down now so I remember it. I think that now when it comes to shutdown, it's funny because shutdown was clearly overpowered. And it still is. And don't get me wrong. But now it costing six obviously makes it a lot more difficult to do it on every single defenseman. But the thing is, you can put it on all six of your defensemen, but you're not going to get the offense boost as well, which was the problem, right? So now you've got to make some decisions because you can't just have all six of your defensemen, and you shouldn't. So I tried it without it. And if you have Burns and Hedman, man, like, a lot of the people were like, oh, I wouldn't have made Burns. And when it's like, he's a 6'5" defenseman with like 90 speed and 91 acceleration. Just because he doesn't have shutdown does not take away from the fact that he's a dominant player in hockey.
Well, yeah, there were people in my Discord. It was like, yeah, I made this guy. He's completely useless now. 94 overall card, 99 stick checking, 99 defensive awareness, good abilities. It's just four extra points.
Yeah. But again, I understand the people I think that were the most upset weren't the completely free to play, but the ones where you have a god squad and you're free to play, because those guys have to grind a lot. And I give total props because, A, I don't know how you play the game that much, you know, but props to you. But second, you've put in so much more time and no money that you've, and I can understand that. That I can understand. So if you had a top four of Hedman, Burns, Carlo, and Bomeister, I can understand you being a little pissed off if you're free to play, because now you've Bomeister and Carlo specifically, they lose a little bit of that value because, you know, without shutdown, they're slower, right? But, you know, like Hedman and Burns are still Hedman and Burns, bro. Like,
yeah. They're still 6'5", 6'6". Like,
nothing changes.
Still great cards.
And then the goaltending thing, man. Like, I think this is going to bring into the gameplay discussion. So maybe.
Yeah, because there is a lot in there.
Yeah, let's save that.
Yeah, what's that?
So, Schnipe. I don't think they do anything. I don't think a lot of these do anything.
Can we do the gameplay discussion right now?
Let's do it.
So I've been playing, right? I played HUD Champs this weekend. I've tried out the new AP cost. I've tried a lot of these abilities. I don't think most of them do anything. I tried Schnipe, right? Silver, it wasn't the gold ability. I don't notice a difference. The goaltending abilities are obviously, there is a difference, right? Post to post cost 8. We know that there's an extra 2 to 3 saves a game from that ability.
Before you go any further, there is a difference between some of the abilities that have specific animations tied to them, and then the ones that are supposed to just influence the stats of them. Those are the ones that you can't really tell. Like, so for example, what you were talking about, like post to post, the goaltender will literally ram up against the post. Like, that is one you can visually see. Shock and awe, same thing. It's a laser beam. And then truculence, you break people in half, and they're out of the play. So I just wanted to talk about that, because those ones you can see, and it causes, you know, the game to physically be different. So carry on about the other ones, though, because the ones that
make
best stats.
So, like, so there's those ones, right, that are animation-based. But then there's, like, quick draw, too, which is clearly, it gives you just a way better chance at winning the faceoff, especially if you tie up. So that's an ability that I think has an impact on the game. But then there's so many, like make it snappy, I don't think does much. Even wheels, I know a lot of people use that.
I don't notice it.
I don't think it's worth the cost. So like I've been trying to like trying out all the abilities, see which ones I actually think have an impact that are worth using, and then just skipping everything else. Like I stopped using shutdown. Even the defensive ones, like the defensive shooting ones. Like I have a video out there that's one of my biggest videos with like the 1T and seeing eye. I think it's great, but I don't know if it's worth like the 8 to 9 points to activate it.
So 1T is on all of my defensemen pretty much.
It is. I've been going back and forth on that.
This is so difficult to talk about given just what happened, because if the game actually changes and anything that I say right now ends up being in the game or changed, then I'm absolutely screwed. So
I think there's a difference between that and we've always been pretty transparent. Like, so the same feedback I give on my stream, and I'm sure the same thing you say on your stream is what I tell the developers. I never do like one or the other.
Yeah,
you know?
No, you're right.
So if it gets in the game, that's good in my opinion. But like, yeah, I get how it looks, right?
Let me ask you. So viewers, guys, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this on my YouTube channel, in the comments section, if you have NHL 19 or 21 and 19, last time the game was good. No. If you have NHL 21 installed, I want you to go and I want you to look at your goaltender save percentage. And I brought this up on Twitter because you and me were talking about this. The game is just extremely low scoring. And a lot of people don't hate that. And I'm not saying I hate that, but I'm at a point now where in a video game, I want goals, whether it's against me or I score. I think it's just more exciting in a video game. Don't get me wrong. A 2-1 great defensive battle where like the guys are just absolutely killing themselves to get any opportunities. I understand that. But it's every game now because it has never been easier to play defense and utilize these goaltender abilities. And it's leading to a very boring game. Like it is just not.
Yes.
There is no creativity that you can do with one-on-one dekes, really, and utilize those to create time and space in the game. So it is all based on you understanding the strategies and making quick passes and whatnot, which is fine and awesome. The problem is there's only 3 strategies in the entire game since NHL 04. So we're very limited in that. So, you know, it's just difficult. Like, you know, we could talk about this for like hours, but yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So my issues with the gameplay, right. And give me a second here. Cause I do want to bring something up. Cause like, I like to be transparent on this the same way, you know, if I was on my stream. So I sent this to a developer, some of my issues with gameplay in NHL 22. I broke it down into four parts. I was trying to come up with five, but there's a lot of like small issues in the game, but I think these are like my four main ones, right?
I got asked on this as well.
Okay, think, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I wonder, you know, what similarities we have. Actually, so okay. I have passing as one of them.
Okay, hang on one second. Actually, this is a great conversation because I forgot. So again, to be transparent, we got asked the five things that, you know, we would consider an issue in the gameplay. So my number in no order. So I'm just going to name. So you had passing. I had passing as well.
Yeah. So getting into the passing, right? So I don't mind the change in NHL 22 to the more, I guess, skill based passing where you can miss a pass, right? If you don't aim it correctly. My issue is the pass is getting locked onto the wrong player. Two players being in the same line of direction as a passer, but it goes to the far player instead of the guy in the middle, right? Passing to the blue line, your defenseman either just doesn't read the pass and it goes past him, or it's weird, even if you aim it almost perfectly.
So before you go into that, I have a theory on that. If you make a backwards pass, like literally backwards, there is no tracking whatsoever, meaning that it does not track the pass at all or the player at all you're passing back to. And what ends up happening is if you do not aim it precisely, it is out of the zone. And I don't know how many goals I've had where I've ended up having to defend and it ends up in my net, not like a breakaway, but I mean, that's happened too. But how many times you've got, guys, let us know again in the comment section, maybe you guys are seeing something different. Again, like I'm not saying what is end all be all, but that was, I was noticing that with passing is that whenever you go backwards, it is just completely no tracking at all. And it makes it very difficult.
Well, that's why you see, like, if you watch like somebody like Gren play, there's a lot of like just the tapping the sauce button instead of passing it. And, that seems to work a little bit just because you don't have that like charge pass or the regular pass speed and you just have the saucer pass. But I hate having to do workarounds in the game for something that should work automatically. My next one, and I'm assuming you might have this, is the stick physics.
The game feels extremely clunky, especially when players are close together. Often you will lose the puck or miss a pickup just because the players are close together. I think this is something to do with the stick physics.
Yes. So I am sick, absolutely sick of, I don't mind the addition of it, similar to the passing, where if it worked, good. But you have like sticks getting caught on a guy. And then instead of him just putting his stick back down when there's no obstruction, he skates with it behind him and you can't pick it up and it leads to a goal. It happens so many times during a game. And it's just, dude, it's ugly hockey. It's just ugly hockey all around.
I think another thing, I had one today. And if you were watching my stream, you'll know exactly what it was. I am not kidding.
I wasn't.
It was in overtime. Okay. And it was a game I should have won. Another one where it's like 1-1. I have dominating shots, time on attack, but it's 1-1. And our two guys are just going for this puck. Bro, there was five attempts to pick it up with their skate. And the first
where was the puck?
In our feet, kind of. We were both going for it.
Like, no, we're on the ice, though.
Oh, in my zone.
Okay.
In the defensive zone. Like, so it was right beside my net. And
yes,
the first animation, my guy, instead of picking up with a stick, he tries to kick it to himself and he kicks it up in the air like a soccer ball. And then it was literally four different swipes with their skate to pick up this puck by myself and the opponent until the opponent finally got a sweep with their skate to get it to their stick. And he just walked in front of my net and scored. I was just baffled because it's so clunky when you're near each other. It's like, the stick in physics was an awesome addition to the game. I think that it added a lot of opportunity to make the game a little bit more realistic. But yeah, they're clearly in its infancy because when it hits something, it like just there's no ability for it to actually get to the puck. I don't know, man. It's wild.
It feels like this game feels like a beta at times with some of these things. So the next one I had was goalies. And this might be, I guess, divisive. I'm not sure. I think goalies are too good in NHL 22. You have the added abilities, but not just that. They fix some things, right? So like prior years, literally back to like NHL 08, the short side snipe, right? Like you skate in, cut to the middle, shoot glove side. That usually worked. Now it's like they save nearly everything. And there's, even if it's a good shot in the slot, there's like no clean snipes with like 95 plus shooting power. A lot of cross crease saves where it's like not only, and my next thing was defense, right? So not only is defense easier to play, goalies just make way more saves now. So it's harder to get these nice scoring chances this year because the passing's worse. Defense is easier. Stick physics just aren't good. Then the goalies make the miraculous saves whenever you actually do make a good play that isn't broken up by the gameplay.
I mean, 100% agreement there. I don't have goaltenders on my list. I'm curious to see what one I do have that you don't. But it is, it's funny because I've said this a number of times that this is the year that mimics the real thing more than any other NHL game we've had. It is sim-based. It feels the most like real hockey that we've had. And it's funny, point shots don't go, like, I watched Junior Pens score 3 point shots in a game, but he took 40 shots. Yeah. And when you think about it, in the real game, how many D2D one-timers go in? Like, there just isn't very many. And part of me
thinks...
There's
not a lot, and a lot missed the net.
It feels like to me that... And the problem with D2D one-timers, and I know a lot of people complain, like, oh, you just want to score D2D one-timers. Like, here's the thing. If everyone is using collapsing protect net, then you only have one or two options. One's go behind the net and get them to chase you, or you take the space available to you at the point. And if D2D one-timers are completely useless, which they are, like, let's be real here. I think that is one of the most evident goals that is no longer an option that we would have seen a ton more of in the prior game. And the reason why I bring up, I forgot to mention this before, my Twitter poll, 1,500 votes, why I asked you guys to go check your old goaltender save percentage, because this year, 60% of that vote, over 1,500 people, had an over 80 save percentage. And why that is huge is because I would say 5% of the player base had an over 80 save percentage in NHL 21. And the only thing that has changed, or like all of the changes, have been on the defensive side of the game, right? Like, yeah. This year, NHL 22 implemented turning on the pass intercepts back on, which I think was a good thing. I think 21 was a mess with that. Like, that was a joke. The goaltender abilities all and the defensive abilities are very, very good. Like, and then defense, you know, just not the ability to score is just much more difficult, right? So it adds to a lot less goals. And, you know, I think that leads to a less exciting gameplay. But what was...
Yeah, well, that was my last. So defense was my last one, right? I said that's too easy. I'm fine with the buff to interceptions, right? Like, the intercept model last year was turned off. That's one that worked in my favor, so I preferred it off, but I'm fine with it being on for the game. It makes for a better game, I think.
It does, yes.
But poke checking's automatic still. It's anybody can click in R1 and poke check you, right? Then there's the poke checks from behind. There's no speed differential, so it's like, I use that 91 acceleration burns. I have no problem catching up to McDavid. I have no problem catching up to anybody with 98 speed, right? Because he has a long reach, but they don't burn anybody. Like, the forwards don't burn defensemen for bad positioning. So, like, defense, it's all these, because it's so easy, it's these 2-1, 3-2 games every single game. And that's regardless of skill level, too. So, like,
yeah, dude. Okay.
Prior years, I was somebody that, like, even last year, I probably averaged like 1 to 1.5 goals against. This year, I'm averaging like a little over 1 goals against per game, but like my goals for went down by like 2.
Yeah, man, like it's wild. Unless I play like, I think there's a, I don't know if this is the 4 consoles, man. So there's less people on each console. So like, but it feels like the majority of like the Division 2 and 3, and even a lot of the division, like the lower Division 1 guys, are just like not here. Like, it's like either you're playing someone who is exceptional, like can challenge for a club championship in GWC, or it's like, you know, you're getting matchmake glitched where it's like a mess.
And those are so boring. And I hate that it's in the game, because like there was a time today, like after work, I was like, I want to get on and like play one game to try something out. And it's like, because it was my first game, I played against somebody with like a 90 overall like offense, you know, so like his team's bad. And that's just not fun. Like, I want to play against somebody good. But like all these changes too, everybody only plays the meta way, right? So behind the net, everybody goes for the same 3 goals, and it doesn't lead to a fun experience online to me.
You can't deke one-on-one. Like, you can't
deke one-on-one. Well, here's the thing. Whenever Madden got realistic, and I'm saying that, like, I guess in jest, just because the game still sucks, back on like the old gen, like PS2, even PS3 days, there is some variety in like play calling, because like a lot of different things worked. Now in Madden, there's like 3 types of offenses that maybe work, but everybody does the same thing online because the game just kept getting dumbed down to this one thing that only works. And now I feel like we're seeing that with NHL. I don't know. Just a thought.
They added in a lot of things that make it look like the product that is on TV. And while that's awesome for a lot of people will like that. And I respect the people that like that because I understand that. I think I just like more arcadey style of the game, like a little bit. Like there's no excitement because you cannot do dekes that lead to a lot of one. And I know we'll get a ton of comments like, oh, I deke all the time. It's like, I want to see you deke against, you know, Gren or someone good that is not like, you know, maybe Division 7 or something. Because other than Badge, I really don't know anyone that relies on 1v1 dekes in this game. And, you know, I'm not talking about the half spins. I'm talking like literal deking. Just isn't very many. And I want to mention poe-checking. Shout out to Eki because he has been on this since the launch of the game. I am done with poe-checks from behind, man. If next year you're allowed to poe-check from behind and it is not an instant trip, I don't care where the stick goes if it doesn't touch the skates. It needs to be a penalty in this video game because the incidental contact that it causes is absurd. Like it is,
dude. It replicates the dead puck era of the NHL so perfectly, right?
Yeah.
Penalties aren't called. You just mug players basically with instead of cross checks, it's just, you know, poke checking, and it's, you know, 3 to 5 goals per game. It's the dead puck era of NHL 22.
And let us know if you disagree, guys. Like, again, these are just our personal feedback. They ask for ours, right? And when it comes to gameplay, it's very subjective. But I mean, we didn't even know that we had done this. So live, we're literally reading.
That is kind of funny, right?
Yeah, and our five are very similar.
So, you know, you did mention, like, if people disagree, like, I did tweet that out earlier, like, the NHL is, like, the dead puck era for this video game. And a couple people did respond, like, you know, I'm glad, like, you have to work hard for your goals. And in my opinion, it's just artificially harder. Like, it's only harder because these other things are automatic and the game's uglier just to be uglier. Like, I'm still doing the same things for the goals that I did in the past 12 NHLs. The only difference is due to randomness, sometimes the goals don't go in.
Nope, exactly. And just to highlight some of the other things, because we had some discrepancies in that, player switching is in its worst state it's ever been. I think, honest to God, I think that might be why this is the worst year for me. Like, I have struggled with it.
It's delayed. Do you ever get delays, too? Yeah. Like, even if you're aiming correctly at a player, it'll go to everybody but that guy.
Exactly. And I think that it needs, when it comes to controllers, very little we can change. Like, they're at kind of the peak with what they can do in terms of what we can do with the controller. But I think we need to go to a spot. You had mentioned this on in a call. Me and you were just talking earlier today. Holding down R2 on offense brings up all four buttons that you can then choose.
Nope, and this is what it will be. This is what it will be. EA Sports, please implement this. If this is one thing that we can wave our magic wand, if you have the puck, you hold in R2, right? It'll bring up L1 and R1. You could switch to the left winger or the right winger with L1 and R1. Triangle will always be the center. Square will always be the left defense. And circle will always be the right defense if you're holding in R2, right? I think that's perfect. I don't, in my mind, I can't see any issues with it. So if people are like, oh, what, you know, this or this. Only issue is if you're holding an R2, you can't, you know, change your lines, right? But that's it. So only whenever you're holding an R2, it brings up those icons. You automatically switch to those players.
I think more importantly is if you hold down R2 without the puck and it brings up the players you can select. I think
that'd be great too.
Like, yeah, on the rush. Like, could you imagine? Like, you'd be able to defend the rush actually the way you want to.
And it would be the same buttons all the time, right? Yeah. So as long as you know, like, if you have like McDavid on the right wing, you know, like, no matter what, if I see McDavid on the ice and I want him, hold an R2, press circle. There's McDavid. I have him, and it'd be so great. It would add a skill gap to the game.
It would,
right?
Add a skill gap.
Not only that, you can just finally select who you want instead of flicking the right stick and getting, you know, the guy selling peanuts in row F. Like, it's awful.
My last thing was lack of strategies. We need some new strategies. Like,
I didn't consider that under the gameplay, but I guess it is.
Yeah, like it's just very bland. I don't think we need custom plays because I think that would break the game. I would love if we could do that, but there's no way that I would trust EA to release custom plays because three weeks into the game, there would be a play that no one can stop. And that's
because messes with the AI.
And that would be the entire game. Every game you would play, it would be the same thing over and over again. And I wouldn't trust them to make a patch to actually fix it. So those were the five things in gameplay that like I just see in terms of like the problems that I'm having with it. And I'm glad that ours were pretty similar. Like, that's kind of funny because, again, we had no idea we were going to talk about that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Huck content because there was quite a bit.
So there was quite a bit. So we'll start with Fridays, right?
Okay. I'll start with
Friday. So we had three new MSPs come out. We usually rank
four.
We had four?
Yeah. Bro.
We had four? I'm so bad at this. We had four. Wait. I have it pulled up. No, we had three new ones.
And four, brother.
We had the Sedins and Subban. Who was the other one?
Dude, Patrick Kane. It's shocking, a guy under 6 foot. You don't even remember. Yeah.
That is, right? So we have to rank these, right, as we usually do.
You know what's funny? I did all eight. So in my video today, I did all eight.
I forget these. We have to do these four.
Do these four. That's fine. All right, who did you pick as number four?
One through four, it's all the same, man. They're all solid.
They're none of them you would make if you're trying to compete in GWC. No.
Yeah.
I will say this. I am done with recommending GWC-based teams and cards because that just isn't fun. So what I did was my rankings. I was like, here are the meta cards that you guys would want if you're trying to, you know, win as many games as possible. And then I did one, here are the cards that I think are the most fun. Subban looks like a lot
Subban's
of fun.
Subban's number one for the most fun.
Yeah,
he's only 6 foot tall, but he has like truculence, right? Gold truculence, which I think even with the increased cost of it going to six, it's still a really good, ability.
It wipes, if you get a clean hit, it wipes them out of the play. Like they have to crawl for a second. Like it is substantial.
And it saps their energy too, allegedly.
Yeah.
So that's a good card. But like they're all good cards. That's the thing at this point. Like any MSP, I think coming out now, it's like they're not going to be slower than 90 speed, most likely. They're all going to have nearly max shooting, max hands, like all that stuff.
Yeah, I know I can give you three reasons today why they're all useless and they're all like, you know, they're just good, not great. Because the team builders, bro.
Yeah, so those came out today. And I'm glad we're recording on Monday night, guys.
Yeah, this actually helps the first time. So, all right. Awful choices in terms of the players.
The player names, right? There's one solid
that makes
choice.
Sense. Yes, there's one. So Keith Primo, Mason Raymond, and Braden Coburn are your 98 overall team. Here's the thing. Coburn and Primo are the most sought after cards basically for the rest of the game. No matter what happens, there really isn't another center specifically that they could release that would make Keith Primo obsolete or enough of them.
Yeah.
Like he is what you want. If you are designing what you want in a hockey ultimate team center for NHL 22, that is it. He is 6'5" with 96 speed, 99 everything else, and like, you know, gold close quarters, quick draw, truculence. Like it's absurd. And I will say this. It sucks for guys that are free to play because you're never going to be able to afford these. Unless you listen to my videos and you were stocking up.
If they've been taking the untradeable rivals rewards
maybe,
throughout
if
the
you've
year,
been
they could have made, yeah.
But a holiday player, I would say almost no shot. Unless you've been preparing. And again, kudos to you guys if you have been. But if you haven't, it's over a million. It will cost you over a million to make them now from scratch. So two things. One, Keith Primo makes sense and I'm okay with that. But again, that's like the third flyer.
Yeah,
I don't get it. Sure. The Braden Coburn, like.
It's a weird one. It's such a weird one, right?
It feels like to me this was a choice because they wanted to make a card for people that didn't have Hedman. Or like another way to get a card like Hedman, because Team of the Year Hedman is far and away the best left-handed defenseman. Like
Now Coburn's the best one.
And now Coburn is the best one. He is a set, but Hedman will be eventually as he gets a 99.
Yeah.
But so part of me thinks they did that. I don't know. And, you know, I don't want to criticize EA Hawk. This is his first year doing it. And we've been pretty hard on the player choices. Some of the player choices. Mason Raymond. Like,
funny thing about Mason Raymond. He is an OG NHL 09 legend, okay? That card, and I think he was a Hutt legend back in, like, the old gen days, too.
Really?
Because the Vancouver Canucks were always, like, a really good team because...
Yeah.
And I always thought the game's made in Vancouver. These guys are homers. Like, Ryan Kessler could have a 20-goal year. He'd still be, like, a 92 overall.
Yep.
So Mason Raymond, like, he always had, like, 94 speed. You'd always put him on the first line.
Yep.
So... Great choice for, you know, if you're into that. Terrible choice overall because he was, what, a third, fourth liner throughout his career?
Like, I get that they want to represent some teams that maybe haven't gotten a lot of love. Like, does Vancouver have any Master Set players?
Is there a Patterson this year?
There's Lindell. There's Linden.
There's Linden.
And Quinn Hughes at the beginning, the Halloween Quinn Hughes.
Yeah. So there's two.
Okay, never mind. There is two. Not like my Sharks. That four.
Quinn Hughes wasn't really an MSP, though.
That was one week. Like a random... It was 87. So
yeah.
Anyway, but it's like okay, they want to give the Vancouver Canucks one. It's like the 98, when you think about team builders, Primo, okay, there's an argument. But the other two, man, like, no. Like, no shot. Like,
so Joe Thornton. I think these were completely designed with, and to your point, though, but like, so these were designed, it's like looking only at player builds, I think, right?
Same. Like, I think they were like, hey, what cards could we release that would excite the player base in terms of hockey ultimate team?
But there's other options, right? So, like, instead of Braden Coburn, I'm sure there's a 6'4", 6'5" left-handed defenseman somewhere in the alumni association. I'm sure there's a fast winger. Like you said, Joe Thornton. I'm fine with the Keith Primo if that's the only center you want. Joe Thornton would have been perfect too. But they had other options.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, like I, you know, it's tough. I hope that there is too often. I would love to see the stats on this, and clearly they must have them. The amount of cards where it's like, obviously everyone's going to use these, but like the fan service where they give Brännström a card. Like, how many Sens fans were excited to get Brännström and not Shabbat? I get the process behind it, too, because in the background, I know they can't. They want to give MSPs to cards that don't really get a lot of live series upgrades like Team of the Week in primetimes. Brännström's obviously not going to get a lot. So, you know, you represent the Ottawa Senators by giving you a card that's high rated that you normally wouldn't get no matter what. But I'm kind of over that. I want the exciting players. I'm going to use this as an example, and I can't believe I'm saying it, but Drew Doughty is a perfect MSP. He does not have a Master Set player. He is a perfect match, and he is just on the cusp, like on the outside. Or sorry, X Factor. Sorry, he does not have an X Factor.
Yeah.
Right? So non-X Factor, good player outside of it. Those are the Master Sets that I want to see. Shabbat was another one. Brady Tkachuk is another one. I don't want to see... just like the random dudes, like,
yeah, but so they get into this cycle, and it's just because it's like it's the way it's always been done. So I think they have to continue where it's Doughty might not be a good example, but we have the random MSPs, but they can't give MSPs to McDavid and Draisaitl and stuff like superstars of the league because they get two upgrades every month guaranteed.
They could to Nugent Hopkins.
Yeah, no, like, I agree with you. There's been, like, Brännström, like, I remember whenever that came out, I talked on stream for 10 straight minutes about how much it doesn't impact me whatsoever, but I hated it just because I thought it was stupid.
Yeah, because, like, if the cards aren't going to be unbelievable, like, so team builders came out, and the Primo and Coburn were like, good Lord, like, these are the cards, bro. If you invested and you had team builders, like, 294s, you were like, thank God.
That's a tough choice.
That is too amazing.
You only have to pick one.
We'll talk about that in a second. But like, that was incredible. But the problem is, it's like, if they aren't that good, like on next level, it's like the only way you're going to be excited is if they're good players.
Yeah.
No one is excited for Eric Brännström. Even Ottawa Senators fans probably aren't really excited for that Eric Brännström. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just that's all I'm trying to get at here. So Mason Raymond, that's a joke. Like, it honestly is. I don't know the process behind that. It's awful. There's no other way to say it. Maybe the build is cool, whatever, that's fine, but that would have been like they gave Andrew Cogliano one. Like, that's, you know, like that's what it feels like.
So do you think, though, because, like, you know, despite the public perception, we are pretty negative on EA throughout this, would you say the majority of the people building the team builders don't really care about what players they are? They only care about if they're meta or not.
The players that can afford the team builders,
yeah,
don't care about the cards that they are for the most part.
Yeah,
for the most part,
I don't care. You know,
same. And that's unfortunate because you should feel like, dude, when it was Aginla last year, Aginla was one of my favorite. He is the reason why I'm no sleeves 12. Like, Aginla was, I was ecstatic, and dude, Braden Coburn, bro.
Hey, he blocks shots. He's good.
Sick.
Like, does he have ice pack?
I don't know.
I don't know if he has ice pack.
Dude, what a great ability that one is. All right, so there's team builder. Oh, so let's talk about it. So let's say you only have two. Easy choice for me. It is Key Primo, and I'll give the reason why, that it's not a second thought. The only way I'm even slightly even considering Braden Coburn is if you do not have Victor Hedman.
That was my same exact thought.
But yeah. If you have Victor Hedman, that means that Braden Coburn's better, but that means you're putting $1 million card on the second pairing defense, and that's just absurd because no one on forward will be as good as Keith Primo until it's July. They're just simply because you can add attributes and 99s will come out the wazoo. You can't make 6'5". You just can't.
Yep.
Unless Sundin gets a 99, Kopitar, those giant guys, it does not matter. So it's Primo, but
he has the perfect abilities too.
Dude, it's wild, bro.
It's one of the best cards they've ever released in a game.
And they should. And it should be. Think how hard that card is to get, especially now. If you know what I mean? That's over a milli. And, it's going to be wild for sure. So, all right. So the last thing we want to talk about is a discussion. Loan cards real quick. Why did they get rid of loan cards?
I don't know. And that's something I brought up when I was streaming this weekend, I think.
I'll give you a reason why I'm bringing this up.
Okay. You have an answer. You asked the question with the answer in mind.
I'll give you an example. Sorry. But okay. I want to get this out. Then I want to get your full answer. I wanted to try out Patrick Kane. I didn't have 600,000 coins, so I was like, okay, I'll just make them. And now when Team Builder came out, guess who's the first card that's got to go? Patrick Kane.
You know what's funny? I went through that same exact thing. Did you want to try him for the Gold Schnipe in the 99 accelerator? You know what? I was on stream this weekend. I was playing, and I was like, yeah, that Patrick Kane card looks cool. I wish, instead of even the loan, I was like, I wish I could pay to rent him for the weekend. Even if it was 50 or 100K, whatever it is. I want to try him out to see if I would be interested in buying him.
Dude, the only downfall to loan cards was that they didn't leave our collection. Just allow us
to get rid of them. So they can get rid of all of that, right? They don't need the loans. They don't need the rentals, whatever. What if in Hut Rush, they just had the active MSPs instead of... But this only came up because Sunday night, I had 79 out of 80 seasonal winter collectibles. And I wanted to open up my icon choice pack because I'm looking for Lemieux. And 300,000 points in Hut Rush got me a collectible.
Oh, dude.
I didn't realize I could have done the daily challenge probably or something. I was like, I'll do Hut Rush. So I draft my team, right? It's 3-on-3 arcade. Every team gets Braden Holtby with gold post to post. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder what forwards we get. I got a 77, Tanner Pearson or something. I got the mascot at the center. And then I had a random defenseman. So the gameplay of Hut Rush right there, I was wanting to just punch my wall because I'm using these 77 overall players and I'm going up against the goalie that's 96 overall with gold post to post. I'm thinking, how did they ever decide that this would be fun for gameplay? I'm supposed to get it and I want to use good players in Hut Rush. Why can't I try out the active MSPs?
Why is it always CHLers, man?
Why is it who? That's not fun. It's supposed to be fun.
Dude, I don't know why Hut Rush isn't just gimmicky.
Have you seen the meme of it, though? The Hut Rush stuff?
No.
There was a post on Reddit. Shout out to Reddit. And also, okay, I'm going to talk about Reddit for a second.
Dude, the memes about me were great.
So on Reddit, do you remember Colin68? He used to post the daily content.
I know what he did. Yeah.
So, nice guy. But people started to mock him or whatever because he was very positive. So he started his own Reddit and it has this NH_Haltimate Team or whatever. So and it was supposed to be a more fun community aimed at probably people our age or older. And the devs, I think, would go and post in there more because it wasn't as toxic.
Yeah.
So one day somebody responded about they were complaining about Hut Rush. And somebody says, oh, that belongs to the Hut Rush guy. And I was like, oh, there's a Hut Rush guy. So now it's that's not my job. That's the Hut Rush guy. Talk to the Hut Rush guy. So apparently we have to talk to the Hut Rush guy about this. But I don't know what they're doing with Hut Rush.
Dude, all I want to do. It's load into Hut Rush and give me six guys that all or four, five guys that all have truculence and 99 hitting and just and let it be. All you've got to do is get 50 hits in a game and that gives you.
Could you imagine the first to 50 hits or something? Dude, that would be cool.
No penalties. No penalties. Yeah. Just like, bro, that's what Onrush should be. It just, and then like, dude, the next week could be 3-on-3 international ice. Everyone has 99 speed and wheels. Like,
yep.
Why, dude? And then one week it could be like, dude, you got to use Darren Pang. Like, I just don't get why they don't make these gimmicky events. But Onrush would be perfect. You could do a gimmicky one and then literally the master set players so we could try them out. But I was just like, man, I used to hate loan cards for the sole purpose of them not leaving my collection. If they left my collection, I wouldn't mind it, but it just got annoying they were in there. So I'm like, dude, I don't even care about loans. But now I'm like, it's going to cost me 400,000 coins to upgrade this card. So I'm like, okay, I guess I got to do it. Now I can't stand them. So now I'm just like, I'm literally actively about to tear down Patrick Kane, lose half
so
my card.
So you didn't like the card?
I hate Division 1. If you are good at this game, and I know the memes about me being shit, hilarious, because my Hut Champs runs include Geimer and Cam's Elite and Meso, and just like I get stream sniped relentlessly, and God forbid I only win 13 games because I have to play.
Well, it's funny because you're a Division One player, right? You're solid at the game. Dude, no, listen, you're solid at the game, but you're a perfect guy for a player like me to stream snipe.
Yes, know? Because you would beat me 9 out of 10 times. Yes, probably more than that, right? So, like, people don't see that. They just see the end result, guys. Like, if I have 400 viewers and some creature living in his basement that just plays this game to a point at which I respect, like, it's just so much, you should be better than me. I do not play this game enough to be as good as those people, right? But everyone just assumes because I'm like, you know, like I have the biggest, you know, the most spotlight on me about Hut that like I'm supposed to be unbelievable. I'm not. Division One is hard to get into if you don't matchmake glitch. Like that's what blows my mind. Like it's hard. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like if you use Patrick Kane type cards and you're good at this game and you're in Division One, he's not fun. You can't cycle the puck.
Because he just gets knocked off.
And
the
you
puck.
Can't make deeks to get around players. So there's just no point to his card. Like, there's not.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, yo, he has a great shot. Tell me a player that if you get a one timer from those hash marks in this game where it isn't a great shot.
Well, dude, honestly, though, a lot of those shots never go in and it's so frustrating. There's a lot of like good shots in real life. Like if it's a one timer from the top of the circle, not next to the net, like top of the circle or something. Like if Matthews takes that shot in real life, that's a goal. If Ovechkin takes that shot in real life, that's a goal. This game, it doesn't go in. The goalies are perfect, right? It's either the only goals that go in are cross creases, the D to D's where the goalies screen perfectly, a breakaway or an ugly goal. There's no in between.
It's tough. It is tough.
It is.
I will agree with that. All right, so
yeah,
let's end on this. So NTQ in my Discord, I think, right?
Yes.
Usually we do a couple questions. This one is so cool that we're literally just going to address this. So give me his question or his thing.
All right, I am pulling it up. Okay, right now, am I still on with you?
Yep.
All right, perfect. I was making sure. All right, so. Boys, I know my previous statement was long-winded, whatever. So he has a scenario for us that if we want to discuss. So in this hypothetical, NTQ has bought 2K and he's putting me in nose sleeves in charge of creating a new NHL series. Tell us what this game is going to be like, what modes are in it, what player builds will you have, what abilities will you have. You two have basically a blank slate to do whatever you want. There's no restrictions. We know what changes you'd make to EA, but what about if you were able to start from scratch? I'd love to hear your in-depth NHL video game ideas.
Okay, so this is way too hard to do. This would be a podcast in all itself. Do you want to just focus on Hut?
Dude, I wasn't. I was going from scratch here. You ready for it?
I mean, all right.
I had an idea here.
All right, lay it on me. Yo, you take the reins on this one. We're going to be here a while, boys.
David Littman. I don't know what David Littman's up to these days. All right. So we have the blank slate. I'm bringing on David Littman as my video game producer. He was the lead producer on NHL 07, 08, 09, 10, the glory years. Okay. So immediately he's the top consultant. This might be surprising to you. I don't know if I'm having an ultimate team in the game. All right. I think if I'm starting out a hockey video game from scratch, I'm only focusing on gameplay. And online only. It's going to be...
You're archaic. I hate to be the bearer of bad news here. Go ahead.
What? Oh, I'm archaic?
The reason... Okay, never mind. Go finish. I apologize. Okay. I didn't interrupt.
So maybe a 1v1 mode. I think only team play. I want it basically a copy of Overwatch, where you hop into an online game with ranked matchmaking, 6v6. maybe 3v3 if necessary, but like 6v6 gameplay, hopefully a bigger player base, and only focus on the gameplay itself and it fun. Online matchmaking's perfect. The rank system, you know, you don't always have to find six people to play with. I think that would be the ideal. Year one, this is what I'm focusing on.
Why is there not a rank for that? I don't know.
And I would play sixes if that was the case, if it was actually fun. Like NBA 2K, whenever they had their league and you had to qualify, you didn't play with your four other guys. You went into online ranked games and you played drop-ins, dude.
Dude, why is it not like that?
I don't know. And that's the barrier to entry for me in playing team play online is I'm not going to play sixes at 11 o'clock at night with, you know, whatever.
Dude,
what,
yeah, dude, like I can barely get one friend out of my group that has the same day off as me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just not feasible.
You got to find five other people that are always online at Tuesday night at 11 p.m.
I will. Okay. So the one thing I want to talk about, or one thing I want to say, I like your idea of focusing on gameplay. And I think the majority of the player base would, because a better gameplay experience is just more fun. I think that it needs to be peer to peer. We agree on that.
Peer to peer, no syncing issues.
Let's pretend we invest in cybersecurity. There's no syncing or any of that. Okay.
Right. We have NASA.
We can put a backup goalie in. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I think that is extremely important. I think that why I said it was archaic is if you look at MLB The Show, which is widely considered one of the best sports games, they don't give a shit about any other mode that isn't an Ultimate Team mode. And the reason why I think that Versus is, dude, people don't realize that the only reason I got into Hut was because I wanted to be a full-time content creator. That was it. I only played Versus. Like I didn't play Hut really until NHL 19 and, well, 18. And like, It's tough, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, Hockey Ultimate Team is something that, if done correctly, could be an amazing mode. Like, the reason why Versus died was because all you have is that leaderboard tactic. Like, that leaderboard tile and your rank to move up. But you don't get to customize your team, all of that kind of stuff. Like, I would love it if you could customize your jersey and customize your arena in Hockey Ultimate Team, like just cosmetically, in a perfect world, we could draw the slate clean. Remember the old days in NHL, like 15 or 16, when you could choose like the OHL barn?
Yeah.
Like, dude, like,
why was that taken out anyway?
I'm assuming syncing issues or some bullshit. Okay. Like, I don't know. Something lame that they just don't want to acknowledge. And then, like, in terms of Hockey Ultimate Team, I would love live series upgrades. So like cards go up and down based on real life scenarios. Like they're, you know, like what would, to be honest, I would just copy MLB.
You would copy MLB. I would too, but you would have to have,
there'd be things that would not be able to be copied over. So like events.
What else would you, okay, let's say you copy MLB. What are you adding to it?
Well, okay. So the only thing that you would have to adjust is like, there's no comps. There's no Hut Champs in MLB. So Hut Champs stays, but it isn't overall. So you can only enter into that if you have your team is under 89 overall. And backup goalie does not come into the equation. So you have to make some decisions. You can't just have stacked lineups all the way throughout so that everyone just doesn't have the same cards and the same, you know, whatever, right? The other thing that I would do is, again, so the base cards go up and down. I don't even know if that'd be a great thing, but I think it would add a little bit more complexity to the game. Dude, X factors, I actually don't mind them in terms of the upgrades. Like, I think the abilities, there's too many abilities and some of them are really useless. But what I would love is upgradable cards that you upgrade via experience by playing with them.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you unlock the tiers. And then what would be great is the prime times and other cards that come out. I use this as an example in a video today. Auston Matthews came out last week with a 95 prime time. Okay. And it had All Alone, which is an awful X factor, but I'm using it as an example because he had a really awesome breakaway winning game winning goal. Okay. What should happen is his X factor, once you get it to 95, it has shock and awe, but you also unlock the ability to choose All Alone as its golden X factor because he earned that in the real game. That'd be another change I'd make. Draft champs, I would bring back with guaranteed rewards that are awesome. Get rid of this garbage pack reward system that is just absolutely piss poor. I want guaranteed rewards, and you know, we can go on and on for there, but like I think that essentially taking what MLB is and making some slight adjustments to it. The collections, if you collect all the Niagara Ice Dogs, give me a team builder Petrangelo or Dougie Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throughout,
I don't know
all
why that's not, yeah, I know.
why do we have bronze cards in the game? It is
just. You know what else I would do, Sleeves?
What's that?
I would hire, let's see, that Jay Fresh Hockey that does all the player cards on Twitter. Possibly the ratings. I'd pay him 40 to 50K a year as consultant, you know? And like you mentioned with the live cards, right? Whatever algorithm he can get based off the prior week's stats for the advanced stats, right? So if like PK Subban's zone entry is like 100%, you know, compared to his competition for the prior week, maybe his passing and maybe, you know, whatever else goes up to like 98, you know, for that week. Send it. Yeah, yeah, stuff like that, right? Like he can have that just automatically roll into the game based off their real life performance. Maybe somebody's finishing is like a 14% relative to the league, so their accuracy goes down by 5 to 10 points for the week. Stuff that's live that ties back to the real NHL. I think that'd be great.
I want a shootout mode with the players on my team that has a guaranteed reward where if you win 100 shootout games, you get a 90 or an 89 overall Merrick Malik or something like that. UC Jokinen, something like that makes sense.
UC Jokinen, great Pittsburgh Penguin right there.
Also unbelievable, you know, in terms of the shootout, like that should be in the game. Moments. I want player locked moments. So a master set comes out, Braden Holtby. Okay. You get his 86 overall card. All right, you get it by buying it. That's expensive. You get his 86 overall card. That gets you in. You by just playing with him online, you get more points based on the saves that he makes. Okay, if he makes a lot of saves, he gets more points, right? But you get a big chunk by doing his 3 or 4 moments. And how you do his moments is you have to play as Braden Holtby in that challenge, goalie locked.
That'd be amazing,
dude. Tomáš Hertl. You've scored 3 goals in a game. Score a between the legs goal over Marty Baron. Go. Your player locked to Tomáš Hertl. Go and do it. Like, why is that not that? Would that not be?
I never thought about having those because they used to have those NHL moments, right? I don't know if it was player locked back in the day.
It wasn't.
But there's so many great like players that you can do like career moments for. Like,
there should be like something to add in, you know, to make it feel more rewarding about that player specifically. Like, why is, dude, I didn't even look. Why is Zibanejad's moment? I don't remember it.
He had 5 goals that one game, I think. So okay, I'm going to assume it's that one.
I maybe that's it. I don't know. Like, right. Cause I'm not a Ranger fan. I don't watch a lot of Zibanejad.
Yeah.
Right. But like Hertl, I know. And I remember, and a lot of the community or a lot of the NHL or hockey community remembers that. So like, just do that in the game and you get 10,000 experience, which is like a full tier.
Yeah.
To give you some,
and I'm assuming the experience would be tiered relative. To where it's like you earn more if it's like a Hot Champs game, you earn a little bit less if it's a Rivals game, less if it's offline, depending on the skill level you're playing against. So if you want to grind squad battles on rookie mode and get 100 goals, it's going to be like that episode of South Park, the World of Warcraft one. Killing the warthogs.
Warthogs, I don't remember,
I forget, but it'd be like that, right? You got to play it a bunch, but... Yeah, dude. It's they're so against. Sorry, Henry's like oinking in here. They're so against giving players free things, and I don't know why they just don't try something.
They do not want to give free things. The other thing I was thinking of in terms of moments or XP. Imagine you got a 1.5 XP boost if you used their real line mates in real life.
That'd be pretty cool.
Like,
I mean, all these things were. It's like it never happened.
I know, it makes me sad. But, like, that just makes me sad. Is. I'm now sad.
Yeah, so hopefully this, who is it again? NTQ?
Yeah.
I hope he comes into $1 billion.
Yeah, dude. We'll make you a banger hockey game, bro. Let me tell you. Yeah. But, all right, guys, we covered a broad range of topics there. I mean, I bitched about my week. You know, we talked about gameplay being piss poor. We talked about, you know, the team builders and all of that. So, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Coffee and Shell. I appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Kesso, any final words? Or are we good?
Dude, work sucks right now. That's all I got to say, man. It's been so busy. I worked on Sunday. I worked today till like 5:30. I'm tired, man. It's too much. It's too much.
Bro, same.
Yeah, I mean, you work 7 days a week, right?
Yeah, and I have to play this game. Ugh. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you guys for watching or listening. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.